Maybe there's a word in the dictionary we can find that would help us out. Steve Kleinedler is joining us this morning, the executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary. Of course, at the end of the year, they always look back, think of the new words that are going to come in and what's been added. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite okay. We've spoken with you in past years. It's hard to believe every year there seems to be more words added. Where do you want to start with our words today?
It's a good thing words are added every year, otherwise this would be a dead language. So language always changes, always moves forward. I think one thing people always like to talk about is food, even at 8 in the morning. They're very accessible words for people to talk about, and it's a good way to talk about how terminology enters the language. There's a couple of items that your readers might find of interest. A lot of your listenership is probably familiar with shiitake mushrooms. We added a new kind of mushroom called maitake, which is another kind of Japanese mushroom. And you might notice the similarity in the words. Take, the end part, means mushroom in Japanese. And maitake mushrooms are called as such because the mai part is related to a verb meaning to dance. And it's so named because the overlapping fan-shaped caps on top were said to resemble the long drooping sleeves of some of the traditional Japanese dancing costumes.
I want to get right to the bibimbap? Bibimbap.
Yes, that's a Korean dish that your listeners might be familiar with, even if they don't know the name for it. It's a rice dish that's served with vegetables and chili paste and an egg, but it's served in a very hot stone bowl so that when it's served to you, it's still cooking in this dish. And as you can mix the ingredients around with your chopstick or with your utensils. And the egg and the rice cooks a little more while it's sitting there in this hot stone dish. And this leads to an interesting topic of how words enter the English language. 20, 30 years ago, you would find this term only in Korean restaurants or in Korean neighborhoods. And nowadays, it's expanded beyond that to other neighborhoods, other kinds of restaurants. And you see reference to it in newspapers and the like without explaining what it is, which is a good indication that it's joined the language in a similar way how a lot of French terminology entered the language 60, 70 years ago when Julia Child and French cuisine became very popular.
Well, with the cooking networks and the food channels and all those type of things, we kind of have different chefs bringing words in front of us. I'm still trying to figure out how to pronounce cumin. I'm working on that one. But anyway, let's move on to some other more general interest terms.
We've got a fun word that has been popping up, humble brag, which refers to a self-deprecating statement that is made to impress other people. So it sounds like, you know, you're putting yourself down, but really you're bragging about, you know, how much money you have and why you can afford this fabulous thing that you're doing or that you've bought. This is a word that, you know, you'll have seen on pop culture websites, in sitcoms, that kind of thing, and the applications are pretty broad and can sometimes be funny and sometimes annoying.
So this sounds like a hyphenated word or two words that they decided just to put together. I don't know how that really works. I mean,
English words are compounded from two separate words, and this is exactly that. You've got the humble and the brag, and you put it together, and you've got humble brag.
All right, let's listicle. I just like saying listicle. What have I said? What does that mean?
Listicle is a common way that information is now imparted. It refers to those articles that are written in the form of a numbered list, which you will see, you know, on websites like BuzzFeed or even regular newspapers now, in order to be graphically visual and take up space and grab the reader's attention with short information pellets. So much news is now delivered in the form of an outlined or numbered list. You know, these 10 fantastic facts about that Hollywood star you forgot about and their trip to the mall, or, you know, 5 foods you should never eat without a doctor's prescription or something like that.
these are just ones that want me to click on a website and keep clicking and extra clicks. There's a motive
exactly.
behind this listicle.
Yes, that's their primary point, is to suck you into the website. It's a sticky website to get you to click, and to that's how most media gets their advertising. They want you to click, so they're going to design for you to click through right. 100 pictures of cats to get their advertising eyeballs.
All right, toe sock. These are socks with toes in them, right? Is that it, or
yes.
is there more to it?
Well, there's a story behind that. We're not just adding new words, new senses. We're also, the editorial staff is doing a massive overhaul every year. Last year, we reviewed over 6,000 terms and revised over 2,000. And a lot of that vocabulary is very everyday and mundane. This, for example, one of our editors was doing a thorough clothing review that hadn't been looked at in some time. And in the process of going through all of the footwear, she realized that this very basic term from an article of clothing that was very popular in the 70s and had a revival in the 90s, and recently when toe shoes came into vogue, she realized, hey, we don't have toe socks, so in it went.
Now, before we get to these other ones that have to do with sort of pronunciations and usage, I want to get to Zarf. People care.
Yes.
Zarf. We now have a name for this thing that we hold our hot coffee in, this cardboard sleeve? Zarf?
Yes, there was actually always a name for it. Most people weren't familiar with it, much like how the plastic end of a shoelace also has a name, but no one knows what those are called. Zarf used to refer to, in the Middle East, a decorative metallic holder for hot beverages. It's from an Arabic word that means container. And with the rise of the cardboard sleeves here, that word was repurposed to refer to those sleeves.
That shoelace thing, it's like isn't it like an aglet or
that's exactly what it is.
All right, see, this is how I used to spend my tween years figuring out crazy words for names like that. all right, let's go on to one, orientate. Is this even a word?
Well, that was the question. We have the American Heritage Dictionary has a usage panel of about 180 writers and authors and poets and Pulitzer Prize winners and crossword puzzle makers. And every year we send them a ballot with usage questions asking for their opinion. Orientate is one of those words that tend to annoy a lot of people because there's a perfectly usable verb already in existence, and that is orient. And even though orientate is more common in England than it is here, we put it forth to the ballot, and a wide majority of the usage panel are also annoyed by the use of orientate. So this becomes it is a legitimate word. It does exist. People use it, but it comes along with a note saying that it's considered less.
Yes.
Less good, shall we say, than its cousin, Orient.
Warning, this word may irritate somebody, basically, is what you want to put.
Pretty much, yes.
Now, you did kind of give an example how you have the word illuminate, and we like to use that word rather than the word illumine? Is that the...
Oh, yeah. There is a verb called illumine, which is old-fashioned and not many people use, and we have illuminate. A lot of eight verbs come from Asian words, so there's illumination, people think illuminate. It's similar how to people say commentate from commentator. And for a long time in the 70s, there was a backlash against the word commentate. And it's kind of developed its own difference between it and comment now. A commentator won't always comment, but they will commentate. But that's an example of a word that's gone through this process already of being an annoyance, and now it's just kind of there.
All right. Well, if people want to find out more words that annoy them or don't annoy them or prove the fact that this word really exists, where can they get more of these words and everything that's happening with your American Heritage Dictionary?
Right. Everything's available at our website at ahdictionary.com. You can do lookups there and see more information about the dictionary. You can also buy the book in print online at your favorite online bookstore or in real life in your favorite brick-and-mortar bookstore. So the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language.
Sounds very good. Steve Klein Edler, our guest this morning, executive editor for the American Heritage Dictionary. Thanks for sharing some of the words for this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. It was a pleasure talking to you again.